Welcome to All Things Business for Physicians, where I chat with marketers, accountants, physicians, and consultants to talk about everything like social media, office culture, running your medical practice, and how to align marketing and operations. If you're looking to grow your practice, get access to our patient acquisition and retention framework at hip.agency. So Tracy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, definitely. I'm super excited to be able to chat about orthodontics, the patient experience, customer service, and TCs. So let's get into it.
Sure.
All right. So take a moment, introduce yourself, and give listeners a glimpse into your personal life.
Sure. Okay. So personal life. Well, this is my home. So I'm a Texan, born and raised, and I love it, and I'll live here forever. It's a direct flight from Dallas is a direct flight everywhere, so I'll never, ever move. It's wonderful. We fly American in this family.
A little easier than Pensacola, Florida.
Exactly. Direct flights everywhere, except for Canada. I tend to get screwed when I'm running out to Canada. But I've lived here most of my life. I did take a detour once I was about 18 years old. I graduated high school, went straight up to Seattle at random, and started my ortho life up there. Got right into orthodontics right away. But I spent about 13 years up in Seattle, and then after getting married and was ready to start my own family, decided to come back to Texas because I think every girl wants to kind of be by her mother when they start having family if they can. And so so I came back to Texas, and now I'm stuck. Now I'll be here forever. I love it. But I'm only here, a couple days a week.
So. Oh, yeah. Traveling all over to offices. So. That's awesome.
It's always sad when you start to get to know the people at DFW, like the people who work there, and they recognize you and they're waving at you. That's a problem.
She is again.
We have twin 5-year olds, and they run my life when I'm home. They are the bosses. Soon to be like they're consultants in training for our company. So they're working on their sales techniques right now, and they do a good job. They work me over really well, but we consider them our little terrorists, and it's like negotiating with terrorists to get your freaking shoes on just to get out the door every day.
So. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's awesome because if you teach them young to sell, they're cute and can sell anything. So.
Totally. I'm
trying to do the same thing with my 2-year-old. So that's awesome. So. Tell some people listening obviously know you and know Straight Consulting, but for those who don't, kind of tell us a little bit more about what you guys do, what do you specialize in, and how are you actively helping your clients' orthodontic practices grow?
Sure. So the way the company kind of began, I'll give you the background here. So, imagine jumping into a DeLorean and let's go back in time here. I started my orthodontic career out in Seattle. I was out there for about 13 years. I had the opportunity to work with a handful of practices in different phases of its life and whether it be a startup or downtown multi-million dollar practice, high volume, high end, everything, and I also had the opportunity to hold each position in ortho practices. So, starting from sterile tech, RDA, admins, office management, and then landed in TC. And I think that's really given me a big niche, and we'll go back to kind of what makes us different. But that's where the career kind of started and where the consulting business started to develop, because I ended up working with an orthodontist who was grooming me to help him start his own consulting company. Mm-hmm. And so we started collecting the data, right? We would record all of my new patient calls. We would record my exams, and then we would sit down as a group and pull our TCs in from the other locations and sit down and just kind of piece through and formulate some some systems that we were seeing based on the trends and just kind of work through the scripting and things. And so that really helped me develop kind of a consulting brain, I guess. So maybe take a step out from the auxiliary role and kind of look at it from a different perspective, which was really fun. But then I decided to have children. So I decided to leave and come back to Texas. And I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, that was going to work for some reason. I thought that would work. And while I was on maternity leave, I just decided this was the time to start my own consulting business. Because I guess, you know, when you've got a baby in each hand, why not try for one more thing? So so I decided to start the consulting business probably 6 weeks into having the twins. So it worked out. It all worked out well. It was a blessing. My husband at the time was able to, was working for an accounting firm and was able to take care of us. So I could focus on just learning everything about the business of orthodontics. And so that first year that I started the business, which was about 5 years ago, I just lived at Starbucks, you know, and that was
caffeine drips.
That was where I lived and worked and just learned everything I possibly could consume about the business of orthodontics. And then, fast forward 5 years later and we have three consultants on the team and a handler that tells us where to go and when, and it's just been growing and growing. That's all I know how to do is grow. Yeah. I just grow practices, awesome. I grow us, and I just like to keep learning and growing. So that's what we do, but.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for that intro. And I kind of want to focus around the topic of orthodontic tips and tricks for the best patient experience. So let's kind of start all the way back at the beginning with the patient experience. And in your opinion, how important is the patient experience?
Oh, the patient experience is everything. To me, it's the number one thing that doctors can focus, then they need to focus on if they want to stay in the game. I mean, the marketplace has changed so much. And I feel like, in a world where, you know, millennial parents and I being one, you being one, mm-hmm. you know, are coming into the offices now, you have to be investing in the trends and grooming yourself to learn about those buying habits of the millennial parents and being able to adapt that into your current new patient process is going to be crucial. You'll have to do it if not. You're not going to be able to stay in the game.
Yeah, totally. And I think a big part of that, you know, I've been to a lot of offices as well. You know, as you know, we do a lot of video or photo or just also consulting on external marketing and how to grow practices faster and easier. And what I see, you know, a wide variety of practices is some will focus more than others on the look of the building, the aesthetics. Does the lobby have a coffee bar, or one of our clients even does smoothies and cookies and all these things? And those are all super cool. But at the end of the day, what I see is the people who invest in people and process and having the right people in the seats doing the right things. That's what really changes the game. So I kind of want to hone in there and, you know, talk about the first point of contact when, you know, historically, you know, caregivers and doctors, dentists, orthodontists were more so about the level of care they provide. And they're, you know, focused on science and their actual, vertical that they're in, whether it be orthopedics or we're talking about orthodontics today. So teeth and smiles and all these technical things. And sometimes it can be hard for them to zoom out and look at the whole picture. And a lot of them don't even know what's happening at the front desk. So let's talk about that. And like, you know, if I'm calling and inquiring about orthodontics for myself or a kid, and I call, what are some of the pitfalls? And then what are some of the tricks to set up that first point of contact, if it's a phone call, for success?
Yeah. Well, and I think you're hitting a great point, because it's really, really important for the doctor to take a step back, you know, get out of the patient's mouth and really look mm-hmm. at what's happening in the front. And most of them don't know what's happening in the front. They have an idea. They know what people are supposed to do, but they're very rarely standing up front and listening and just really listening to what's happening. And the truth is these auxiliaries, these admins, they don't get enough coaching. They don't get enough training. There are not enough courses or meetings just for them, right? Mm-hmm. They might go to an AAO, they might go to a team track somewhere, and they're going to get a few tips here and there, but there's not a whole lot of opportunities in their career life, like to learn strategies that need to happen, or to understand that we need to start shifting the scripting that they've been doing and switching it to a more casual, informal type of interaction than it used to be. I mean, Gen X was all about everything, and baby boomers, like, they liked it formal. We have very formal processes mm-hmm. and scripts. Everything is yeah. Mrs. Smith, Mr. That, you know? And these days, it's not, I don't want to be called Mr. I want to be called Tracy. Just call me Tracy. Yeah. If you're friends, because people want to do business with their friends. So if I'm your friend, would you call me Mrs. Martin? No, that's weird. That's my mom. Like, call me Tracy. And, you know, let's have a genuine friendship interaction together. So, you know, where on earth are these admins going to hear that kind of stuff? How on earth are they going to take this script that they were given, or this new patient call sheet that they were given, you know, from a consultant, or from, you know, the doctor's friend who went through that consultant, has passed it over to him, and, you know, and it, you know, tells you, you know, well, do you know about Dr. So-and-so, and what do you know about him, and, you know, what can I get? Can I get your date of birth? Can I get your, you know, it's just, the scripting is too formal. Mm-hmm. And that's an area that I think that is a pitfall. I think that's an area that we definitely see an easy, quick fix to. So I would say, when it comes to a new patient phone call, we're really big with our clients about providing them still with a new patient call sheet, because I have seen it time and time again. Well, I can go ahead and you know, input all of the new patient's information into the practice management software quickly, because I've memorized where the fields are. Mm-hmm. I can still do it faster if I write on a piece of paper, and I can be more in tune with the discussion that's happening on the phone call with that new patient. So I still want all of my admins to use a new patient call sheet. I just happen to design my new patient call sheet to be very much a framework than it is written out scripts, because obviously my words are not going to sound as good coming out of somebody else.
Right.
But as their consultant or as their coach, I want to make sure that I teach these ladies or gentlemen, you know, to understand what information I'm trying to tease out of those new patient calls, like what kind of information I feel like the TC could really benefit from, or our doctor could benefit from when it comes to game day or exam day. And so I think that that's an area that the doctors are slowly learning that, hey, we have to invest at the first point of contact, and as well as the TC, as well as the sale. Mm-hmm. So I think working on scripts there is a big one. So I guess we can come back to talking about, you know, what method the new patients come in, whether it's through the website or via call. But if they are taking them through the call, I recommend to our clients that they take a fantastic new patient call that is just packed with soft sales, teases out the information that we're going to need later. It's a very casual interaction, casual scripting, so it builds that connection really quickly, and it leaves the new patient, you know, learning so much about us as a practice and why they should want to be here, and it imprints on that new patient in that new patient call. It imprints our practice onto them, so they won't go anywhere else. Because today, you know, and I've said this on other podcasts, you know, new patients are going on 2.5 consultations. That means that the majority of the new patients you're going to see in your day as a TC are shopping. Like, mm-hmm. they're just straight up shopping, because we're pragmatic, and we want to make sure that we're committing to the right thing. Like, we have the money to invest in orthodontics. We just want to make sure that we're going to pick the right place that we're going to have the best experience with. Because all the doctors' first names are doctor. We don't know, the consumer doesn't know that Dr. Smith can do a smile arc better than, you know, Dr. Joe. You know, they don't know that they're going to get a better bite, better occlusion with Dr. Joe versus Dr. Smith. They have no idea. They just know that their name is doctor and they have pretty lined up teeth on their website. So it's going to be about that, those interactions. And so we're really big about teaching our teams to really capitalize on each touch point. And I think it's important to have multiple touch points when we're talking about onboarding a new patient. So, you know, having that killer new patient call, we're really big about what we call this three-step setup. So it's a new patient call, it's an outbound insurance call, and that's where everybody falls short. And then we do just an incredible TC call, which is more like a pre-consultation consultation before they come in.
That's awesome.
So if I capitalize on each one of those, my new patient's not going to go anywhere else. I mean, they can go on other exams, but they're coming back because we've clearly imprinted upon them at that point.
Yeah. So immediately you have a process to up the game and add a higher level of service than possibly some other practices in the area. That's awesome.
And yeah. So stand out. It's a standout when, because if I'm a millennial mom, I'm picking up the phone, calling one office, I hang up the phone, and then I call another office because I want to get this off my to-do list. So I'm just going to call the next one real quick, and I'm going to have either a similar interaction because those guys have all been to the same, you know, team tracks at the same meetings. They know the same things, work with the same consultants, or they're going to hopefully pick up the phone at one of our client offices and hang up and go, wow, that was different.
Yeah, exactly. So it's personalized and tailored. That's incredible. So yeah, some of the things that I've seen on the phone, because we listen to thousands of calls, is sometimes orthodontic practice will answer every single question and then not give any type of invite for that appointment, you know, because the prospective patient will say, okay, yeah, thanks for answering this. I'll call you back next week. And it's like, man, like you just missed, like invite them in, you know, you're right there. And sometimes those calls will last, you know, 10 minutes or what have you. Another thing, and I'd be interested your thoughts on this, is it seems like a very common question is price. And sometimes, you know, we all know that most orthodontists offer a free exam because we're in the industry, but some people use words like complimentary consultation. And I hear people saying, well, does that mean it's free? Like they still don't really know, or they want to make sure. And then they'll even press past that. And I've seen staff backed into a corner on the phones of like, no, I want to know a price for treatment. Mm-hmm. And how do you kind of coach on that?
Totally. It's casual because they're my friends. The new patient's my friend. So I give them a range. I like to say complimentary. I think that's just what the consultants all taught us, you know, as I started my career, but just to add more value to it. And free can, you know, it gives it a little bit of a negative tone. And so I like complimentary. So that's what I say. But I definitely don't think twice about giving a range. I just let them know that, you know, every mouth is different. Every mouth is a project. So each one has its own fee. But the best part is we have an amazing treatment coordinator who's a black belt with the calculator. So she'll make sure that whatever we come up with, it's going to work for you. That's her goal, her job for you. So she'll take care of you. She's got your back.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, let's kind of chat about the website, and just booking online. I've listened to several podcasts and talked to people in the industry, and this is something that we're doing as well, is trying to lead our clients to give that option. And there's many tools that can do it. Some people are using Calendly, Acuity has a HIPAA compliant version, and some practice management softwares are starting to incorporate it right into where it's built into their live schedule, which is cool to see. But one thing that I've seen is sometimes people will not make appointments available today or tomorrow or within 48 hours online. Curious if you've seen that or how you bring that up. I'm sure you guys do some secret shopping, but what are your thoughts around that? And in terms of phone calls and website appointment requests, what are you guys seeing with that?
So it would be my preference to go 48 hours. It would not be my preference to throw them in the next day. Because you're almost always guaranteed for that to be just a check-in kind of a appointment. If I had my wine and my Netflix at night, because I feel like every process should be designed around the millennial mom who's got her wine and Netflix going on at 9 o'clock, I love that we are able to go ahead and get that off the to-do list, which is schedule Joey's appointment to see an orthodontist. So I love online scheduling for that. The odds of me being prepared to make the final decision tomorrow is probably not going to happen.
Yep.
So I like the accessibility of being able to go in, you know, maybe 48 hours. That gives me a chance to remind my husband that, oh, by the way, while I was up last night, I went ahead and took that off the to-do list. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think that the office needs to kind of be able to prepare a little bit. And that's where I feel like our clients really, I know the clients that really go ahead and adopt our practices of preparing this new patient before they come in, get those quality exams. If you hurry up and get them in really fast, I don't think that you get the kind of quality you're looking for. But if you're looking to just screen them, then that's a great way to do it. I'm a big fan of smile assessments. I think that's a better way to screen them because, you know, if I'm just wanting to check and see what the treatment would look like, how much it's likely going to cost, a smile assessment is way better than me driving over there to go do it, or to get one of the kids out of school to bring them over to the office to check that information out. So I think smile assessments is my favorite, just so we can kind of weed through them a little bit. But I would say 48 hours would be the soonest I would get somebody in, because I do want some time to check their insurance, and I want to call them and let them know what their insurance benefits are before they come into the practice. And if they don't have it, I want to get over that hurdle with them before they come in as well. So causes them to have a little bit more of a financial conversation before they come in, so we can make better decisions and I can help move them forward in the process if they're more prepared that way.
Definitely. One thing that we're trying to coach clients on too is kind of think about the website appointments as more of a lead generation, not like a set appointment. So if Tracy comes on the website and schedules for, you know, Friday at 2 and you don't have that open, it's okay. Call them, like you said, be their friend on the phone, explain that, hey, that time for this reason isn't going to work, whether it's double booked or, you know, but we can do 30 minutes later, or we could do 3 p.m. And I think if you're having that friendly, personalized conversation and you focus on making that connection, they're going to be okay. In most cases. So that's one thing that we're kind of figuring out is, yeah, let's put it on the site, let's make it accessible, but also don't take it too literal. If you don't have that slot, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But one thing I will tell you this, and you might have seen this too, is some offices, again, it goes back to training. When you implement something like this, certain schedulers aren't trained. And because it's scheduled online, they won't even call the person back. They'll say, well, they chose a date and time, they'll show up. And we're trying to kind of give some suggestions there of, like you're saying, that 3 callback process, implement something like that so you can really build the connection. Otherwise, I think we're going to see more of an issue with no-shows with all of these digital options.
You're going to see more no-shows and you're going to see more patients go into pending. And if you're fine with having, you know, a big, huge pending list to follow up with, then by all means do that. But the exams are going to, you're not going to get quality exams. They're not going to be ready to make decisions. So they're going to have, you're going to get a lot more of them going into, we'll call pending. So
yeah,
I love the, like you said, I love using the online scheduling, or even just having a form online to be able to reach out just so that I can get it off my to-do list as the parent or as the patient. But we can't use that as an excuse not to do the work, the prep, right? Because because I get lots of offices who will say, well, you know, they sent in their request online, so that's their means of communication. And I get that, and I value that, I love that. But I would challenge them to figure out a way to work in the sales strategies that we're trying to use on the calls mm-hmm. into just a different modality.
Right. And like you said, to go back to the patient experience, we have to think about that experience and think, well, what would we want if we were in their shoes, and deliver that and really add value? So that's awesome.
Make it easy and make me feel special. Hit those things at the same time and you've got a winner.
Awesome. And so the last thing I just wanted to talk about, you kind of already brought it up, the smile assessment. Is that a virtual exam? Same thing or?
No, a couple different. So smile assessment is where they send in pictures. And that can go to the TC, that could go to the new patient coordinator. They run it past the doctor and they say, you know what, I think it'll probably, according to these pictures, I think it'll probably take about this long. You have a couple options. This is what, you know, this is what the treatment plan will likely be. Give them a fee. You can go ahead and check their insurance. And then the TC can reach out or the doctor can reach out. Best way is honestly via video. You know, reach out and say, hey, thanks so much for sending this to us. You know, your pictures were great. Good job taking those. I know that's tricky. Dr. Smith has had a chance to look at the photos, and this is what he recommends, and this is how long it will take. This, you can even, as a TC, you can lift up the models and show them, like, you can have this, you can have this, your choice. And, you know, my amazing insurance coordinator has already checked into your insurance. You've got a beautiful benefit of, you know, $1,500. I'm emailing you over the estimate right now so that way you can look through it. You know, let me know what questions you have. I'd invite you to come in and then we can take some records and just confirm our findings and go ahead and get started with the process that day. You know, just something easy. Yeah. So
awesome.
I think that's a great way to screen through the people who just want to check, you know?
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, and that's good because with digital leads, you have so many people that are on different levels of where they want to commit now. And some people, like on Facebook, you know, people aren't searching orthodontic treatment on Facebook. So if they see a post or an ad, they may be like planning for 6 months, a year later, whereas someone on Google typing in, you know, orthodontics or braces for my kids, they're probably more in the immediate buying cycle. So it's almost like you have to have these different systems to meet people where they're at in today's day and age.
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah. So let's go ahead.
That's what smile assessments are. And then virtual exams can be different. It can be a couple different things. You can be talking about a remote exam where the doctor could, you know, literally FaceTime in. We could have them virtually involved in remoting into the exam for their doctor time. They could be in the office, and as a TC, I'm just running over and showing them the records. He's telling me, he or she's telling me what the, you know, treatment recommendations they have, and then I come in and I present it all, and that's a TC-only exam. So you can do it a couple different ways, or, you know, we could invite somebody in on their lunch break. You know, if they're a busy professional, maybe they want to come in on their lunch break, do some records really quick, and then doctor's going to set up a Zoom meeting with them, you know, later that day or the next day to go over the treatment recommendations. There's so many ways to slice the buzzword virtual, you know, consult to virtual exams. And like you said, we want to meet people where they're at, and mm-hmm. we have so many more ways to make things more convenient for them and having this accessibility that we never had before. So being able to adopt to that and change our systems a bit to accommodate is wonderful. You're going to have way more time to catch up on things if you're going in this direction.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to what I said earlier with people in process. Some of the conversations I've had or scenarios I've seen where, you know, docs will go to a meeting or they'll see this in a Facebook group and, oh, this person's killing it with virtual exams, and they just want to slap virtual exams on their website. And it goes back to process. The people killing it and doing really well, they really thought about the strategy, the process, and they made sure that the team knew what was going on and how to handle, whether it be smile assessments or virtual exams or what have you. I think that's so key because so many people move, they kind of put the cart before the horse
and try and move forward without that process. And then they say, oh, well, it didn't work. But then we kind of have to go back to the building blocks that were never put in place. So I think that's huge.
It is. And that goes right along with, I only recommend doing the virtual exams or the TC exams when you have an experience, like when you have a trained TC, right? I think of the exam as a show. It's a showtime, right? Everybody's got their lines and their cues. Doctor has, you know, his or her cues that they come in and do, and then the TC does hers. And the only way that those virtual exams or the TC exams work is if the TC really knows and the doctor really trusts her to do their lines as well, right? You have to be able to do both roles lines of that show. So you have to put the work in, like you have to have them trained. They have to feel really confident in order to sell this, because so many offices I'll go into and, you know, you'll have a sweet, pleasant treatment coordinator, but you need a tiger too.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in those offices with the sweet ones, it's the doctor who's really selling it, right? Mm-hmm. And she's just kind of helping moving things along, being that supportive, cast member. But when we're going to be looking at doing more remote things, more virtual things, we have to have somebody who's really equipped to do that, to really execute it well. Otherwise, you're right, there's no point in doing them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about that complimentary consult and just the flow of that consult. I've heard from doctors who may spend 30 minutes with the patient, or some spend 3 minutes with the patient. What do you see in terms of the best blueprint or flow for that first appointment?
So I've done them, you know, I've had 90 minute exams, I've had 30 minute exams, 20 minute exams, 45. The sweet spot is 60 minutes. For me, it's always going to be 60 minutes. I think it's super important for the TC to take her own records, his or her own records, in that first chunk. I just break it down into three chunks of 20. Whenever I build a scheduling template, I usually build it with a 20-minute doctor time across the board for the exam. I don't want the doctor to take 20 minutes, but I do want it to be built in there that should we have, adult male engineer in the room, I want to have plenty of time for us to get through it and not, push into the next exam. So I love a 60-minute exam. I think that's the sweet spot. I think it's vital that your TC can take her own records and seize that first 20 minutes as soft sales. It is all about getting to know this patient, becoming friends very quickly, not only with the patient, but the patient's entourage as well. You know, becoming friends super fast, finding all these connections and building that rapport, is crucial. And I feel like any of the offices that have an RDA or, you know, even a record segment, you know, when I TC, I'll have a record sec sometimes too. And I do think that that you lose something when you don't get to utilize that first 20 minutes to really build up what's going to happen later. So if I've done everything right, if I've prepped this new patient before they ever walked in the door, they're already going to be 80% ready to buy, right? All I got to do is make sure that they have an insanely amazing experience once they walk in. So they walk in, I give them a tour, I take my records, I'll scan them, I can simulate, I can show them what it's going to look like before we ever, sign on the dotted line. Talk about how amazing our place is. I talk about the uniqueness of our practice and what they're going to experience on a regular basis here. So they really know what they're getting, right? They're getting entertained. They're getting a friendship. They're getting a group of people that they actually, in a place that they want to hang out at. We just happen to be doing orthodontics along the way. And then they get to meet my doctor, and my doctor is super cool. And that's why I work here, because they make my life, they're the bright spot in my life. You know, I spend so much time at the office, just as much as I do at home, if not more. And they make, this team is what makes me feel like I'm in the right place. And as a new patient, you're going to feel it too. And they have a great experience with the doctor. The doctor comes up with a brilliant plan. I, as their treatment coordinator, then present an easy financial arrangement, whatever works for them works for me, as long as at the end of the day that the total equals the total, I did well. Mm-hmm. You know, something that came alongside their budget and didn't push them out of their comfort zone, right? I needed to come alongside their life. And I was very flexible because, especially with millennial parents, it's all about cash flow. It's not that we don't have the money. It's that we watch our cash flow differently. So I made sure that I came up with a payment arrangement that met them where they were at. And then I just moved them into the clinic and we started same day because I had told them, or my team had told them all throughout the prep work, through that new patient call, through my insurance call, through my TC call, I had told them that they were going to be able to stay and do their first appointment if it was convenient for them. And then here we are at time decision and I'm saying, hey, if you guys have time, you know, do you want to stay and do your first appointment? Does that work for you? And it's just an easy yes. So that's my
And that was going to be one of my questions about, you know, techniques for same day start. So you're kind of dripping it all the way from that first phone call and introducing it. So they already know, it's kind of just built into the conversation.
Exactly. It's, I've been in TC for, you know, 15 years. So, you know, of course I've experienced the times where I would say, I'd be all nervous and I'd give them the fee and I'd come up with the arrangement and I'd say, you know, well, you know, would you guys like to start same day? And they're like, what? Like right now? No, we'll go home. This feels a little pushy, you know, and I hate that. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody else hates that. So why not capitalize on every touch point that you had with that new patient and just soft sell, just plant the seeds that, hey, you know, while you guys are here, you know, if doc thinks that Joey does need some orthodontic treatment or he is ready for those braces, and I just make it really casual like that. It just sounds like a friendship. It doesn't sound, you know, crazy or anything. So it's that formal. It's just, hey, everybody's invited to do this. This is totally normal here. And if I make it sound normal, then it is normal and it becomes normal. And we see more and more same day starts. I had a client yesterday who texted me and said, holy crap, we just had 7 same day starts. This is a 1-hour practice with 3 assistants. And he's a Baylor guy. So if you know Baylor guys, that's just not, you know, that just doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, that's incredible. Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the TC role. What are some of the skills that create killer consults?
Ooh, so I would say when it comes to skills, it's the soft skills. It's, you know, it's empathy. It's being able to hone in on empathy, build rapport, build connections quickly, be an entertainer. I mean, I just hired my new consultant, Janelle. Janelle Baum, if anybody's listening and knows Janelle Baum, she's the chick she has a mohawk and she's at all the meetings. But she's a TC up in New York and she went to clown school and that's why she's killing it. Cause she's an entertainer. She makes people laugh. And so, you know, if I'm going to come look at committing to spending maybe 30 minutes at your office every 6 weeks, I want it to be at a place where I'm entertained and I have fun and people joke and laugh and people love what they do. So finding somebody who can, you know, exude that is going to be what I look for, because I can teach them, you know, what a malocclusion is. I can teach them what class 1 looks like, but I can't teach them how to be cool. So,
yeah, it's like that killer instinct of being personable, creating that connection and just being warm and friendly, you know,
warm I think and friendly, that's, but at the same time, also, being able to move patients into action, right. Being mm-hmm. able to still stay in control and still move them through the process. I do have a couple, I immediately pop into my mind that, oh yeah, I do have a couple girls who are just like super fun, but they're all over the place to the point where nothing's getting done. So, you know, you need somebody who's able to kind of direct things, but definitely have those soft skills and also be able to pick up on a patient's personality and be able to mimic it, right? Be that chameleon. So be a chameleon and be a therapist. We'll have our TC Master. You'll hear about that at TC Master.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, that's great advice. And that was going to be my next question about moving people along. It's so key to kind of show them the next step, like you're saying, softly, and just plant the seeds all along. And I think the national average for conversion rates in the TC room is somewhere around 50%. I've heard like 52, 55%, somewhere in there, I think. So what should the conversion rate be? Like when you go in an office, where do you kind of set the bar, the standard, and what is in the way or keeping patients from actually starting?
So I would say that when I go into offices, the majority of them are around a 60-some percent. Plenty of people who call me that are like, you know, 40% or 50%. Mm. And of course, those ones who like desperately need me to come there.
Yeah.
But the majority of them are, you know, wanting to just, you know, they like a lot of their processes, but they need more quality exams, and or they need, you know, better conversion, or they need more people in the door too. So, you know, that's where marketing comes in. But I'd say that the number one thing that's keeping them where they're at is that they're just kind of stuck in their ways. They're stuck in their own habits. They're stuck in their own comfort because they're doing their daily life, their daily work life, you know, is pretty repetitive, and they're used to doing it with that level of energy for this many years, and they're wondering why it's not going up, why it's not, you know, why it's not changing. Well, it's stagnant because you're stagnant. You have to have a team with a yes mindset, who's, you know, a yes culture. You know, we live and breathe the mantra, yes, what's the question? The answer is always yes. It's just about how do we get to yes, you know? So by infusing your team with that adoption of like, hey, you know what? We're going to do something different. We're going to try it for the next 6 months. And if it doesn't work out, then we'll go back to the way we did it, but we're going to try something new. It's going to feel weird. It's going to hurt because every time we grow, it hurts. You know, if we
yep.
get into the gym and start working out, it's going to hurt, you know,
oh,
we're
yeah.
going to fuck our body later. So I always say that we're, as consultants, we're fitness coaches, right? And we come in and we give you the routine, we show you how to do the routine, and now you've got to exercise and you've got to practice it. And so for the offices that have those naysayers, as I call them, you know, in the practice, who's like, yeah, I'm not in sales, you know, this isn't a sales position. And I'm like, honey, it's a sales position.
Yeah.
It's not a car salesman. Like, we're not trying to get it all, you know, crazy here, but you are in sales, and all of you are in sales. The assistants are in sales. We are all in sales. I mean, I love that book by Dan Pink. I think it's called Everybody Sell, or To Sell is Human. And you know, we're, like I said, I'm selling to my 5-year-old twin terrorists to put their freaking shoes on every day. So wow. All in sales. And so in order to, I think the offices that have a doctor who can really lead them and say, hey guys, you know, I love what we've been doing. I love that we are here where we are at, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. And you put your blood, sweat, and tears into this place, and I love you for it. But what got us here is not going to get us there. And I need you guys to be open to trying some new things out and really committing to them. And so I think that's a big one. I think doing those outbound insurance calls is the game changer too. OrthoFi, you know, shared a stat with me just yesterday, actually, that the offices that do an outbound insurance call ahead of time and prepares that patient, says, hey patient, guess what? You have this beautiful benefit. I just got off the phone with Delta Dental. You have $1,500 of orthodontic coverage. That's fantastic. Not everybody has orthodontic benefits. So you're already sitting pretty before you even come in here. That makes me as a new patient feel great.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I have a gift card in my back pocket. So whatever she comes at me with the number, I already know I'm going to take $1,500 right off that. OrthoFi shared that the practices that implement that insurance call, the outbound insurance call, are seeing a closure rate of at minimum of 70% across the U.S.
Wow, so that's huge.
It's huge. And the tough part for me as the consultant is that I go into the practice and I make every single one of my clients implement that outbound insurance call. But but it is hard for them to stay on it. And in like their, the admins' daily lives, like things come at them and they just kind of, they get it at the moment. They understand how preparing that patient more would set them up for a same day start or a higher closure rate. But then daily life just kind of gets in the way and it falls down the priority list. And so for the offices that do commit to that and perform it, that's the game changer. So adding that to it, along with a super fun entertainer in the TC room, lights out, you're done.
Awesome. I have a lot of thoughts from everything you just said, but let's kind of talk through a few of them. And I feel like the word sales, you know, it can give you this bad feeling. So can marketing or consulting and these connotations, right, and stereotypes that exist. But it's so true. We're always selling, whether we're talking to a friend or relative or your kids. You're always selling. And like you said, if the answer is yes, and we know that they're interested at this point, we're talking about the TC room, right? So we know they're interested. What got them there? The answer, they're already sold. They're already ready to go. That's why they're in the office. And so I think if we look at it and listeners look at it as, hey, they're already ready to go, what's just the easy way to just keep them moving forward versus have an awkward conversation or, you know, just not be inviting or not even pitch the next step or the same day start. These things are key. And I also think with millennials, the same day start situation's huge because we want everything now. Like if we could get braces now and we're already there, or Invisalign, you know, get scanned and all that, we want to go ahead and do that. Because when am I going to come back? You know, I don't want to think about that. I want to move as far as I can today while I'm there. So there's just some thoughts I had.
It goes back to the website design. So the millennial patient is going to go onto your website. I mean, it doesn't even have to be the millennials. Like even Gen X is going to do this. Everybody's going to do this. But we're so pragmatic now that we're going to do all of our pre-search, right? We're going to check out the website. We're going to see, you know, do we like the product that you're selling? Is there information about the product? What all can I learn? They're going to suck all that information up before they ever get into the office. And then once they, you know, go through the onboarding, was the onboarding process, was that a nice experience? Was it memorable? Was it different than any of the other places that I'm going to? Because I also checked out their website. I also called or interacted with them and onboarded in their practice as well. I'm going in for a consultation. You know, by the time we come in for that consultation, I already know pretty much what product I want. I know that I'm ready to buy as long as this is the experience that lines up with it. And then, oh, okay, it is the experience. Then you're right. I'll go ahead and do this because I don't want to have to figure out where to like find another opportunity to come back into my schedule. So yeah, get as much done as you can. Sign me up, bro.
Awesome. Well, this has been so good. I know that every single listener is going to learn something. And I had never even heard about the insurance call. So that was huge, that outbound call. But, you know, if you implement this stuff, I think at the end of the day, that's it. A lot of people are getting turned on to this and know some of the things that we're talking about. But at the end of the day, you have to have a strategy for implementing. And I think, you know, that's why what you're doing is so great, because you can add that layer of accountability and how are you actually measuring these things that you're asking these offices to implement. So if an orthodontist is listening and thinking, wow, I need Tracy in my office today, how can they get a hold of you?
The easiest way is through our website. So it's just straightconsulting.com. And you can reach out to our team there. And it also goes through our service, you know, packages. We do on-site visits as well as, you know, and that's probably obviously our bread and butter. But we also do these TC Mastery courses. You might have seen advertisements on, you know, your social channels with that. You might see me at one of the meetings. You know, we've been doing a lot of speaking this last year, so you might see us there. I'll be speaking at Nexus this month, or sponsorships, you know, you'll see us there too. So, and now we have this new virtual online training course with Trapezio that's coming out, and that'll be out. It should be out at the end of February. So awesome. That way you see a chick at Chick-fil-A who's just amazing personality, just love that customer service, you can get her up to speed as a TC over the weekend with the virtual online course. So
that's awesome. So cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, we'll do. Thank you.
Awesome. See ya.
Okay, listeners, I hope this helped. We'd love to know what you thought about today's podcast, so shoot me an email at luke@hipcreativeinc.com and let me know things you are implementing from today's episode. Also, if you have any ideas on topics or just ideas for the podcast in general, let me know. To learn more about Hip Creative, head over to hip.agency. Thank you so much.